Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Suraksha Diagnostics Limited's Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by MUFG Intime. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Omkar Bagwe from MUFG Intime. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bagwe.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings conference call to discuss Q4 and FY 2026 results of Suraksha Diagnostics Limited. To discuss our results, we have with us from the management, Dr. Somnath Chatterjee, the Chairman and Joint Managing Director, Ms. Ritu Tuli, Joint Managing Director and CEO, along with other senior management team. They will take you through the results, and then we will proceed to Q&A session. Before we proceed to the call, a small disclaimer. This conference may contain certain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations as on date of this call. The actual results may differ materially. These statements are not guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is also given in the company's investor presentation. Now, I would like to invite Dr. Somnath Chatterjee for his opening remark. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon to everyone. I, Dr. Somnath Chatterjee, welcome you all to the quarter four and financial year 2026 earnings conference call of Suraksha Diagnostics Limited. We are indeed pleased to conclude FY 2026 on a very strong note, with continued progress across financial performance, network expansion, clinical capabilities, and technology-led service enhancement. During the year, Suraksha continued to strengthen its position as a leading integrated diagnostic service provider in Eastern India, supported by our differentiated hub-and-spoke model, our one-stop diagnostic and consultation platform, and our continued focus on quality, accessibility, and patient convenience. Suraksha has always believed in staying ahead of the curve in technology and clinical capability. During the year, we continued to expand our genomics and molecular diagnostic capabilities through Suraksha Genomics, which we believe can become a very important pillar for the company. The vertical allows us to offer advanced testing capabilities across prenatal diagnostics, inherited diseases, pharmacogenomics, and oncology-focused molecular panels. We are also focused on scaling into areas such as whole genome testing, metagenomics, AI integration, and population scale screening initiatives. Suraksha has signed an MoU with IIT Kharagpur to undertake two research projects. The first project is an AI-driven solution for early detection of Alzheimer's from routine brain MRIs. A team of neurologists, neuroradiologists, and AI scientists have started the first trial. In genomics, Suraksha has acquired the fastest NGS platform, GeneXus, in Eastern India. This will allow us deep penetration in the oncology segment of genomics, as it can produce results in 48-72 hours instead of the usual 14-21 days. The genomic lab is now at par with the best in terms of both technology and test offering, making sure that no such tests now need to go outside anymore. Suraksha has also established the first high-end training center for MRI. The first session has been conducted with enormous exuberance from the radiology fraternity. Some of the leading radiologists of the country, like Dr. Mahajan, contributed immensely to the program. In the pathology lab, The latest automation from Roche has been introduced, which enables us to perform 3x more than the previous one. Also, all labs now are online and on a platform. Another important development during the quarter has been the integration of the next generation 1.5T helium-free MRI technology at the prestigious Calcutta Medical College. This facility is designed to deliver high-quality imaging with zero helium dependency, thereby enhancing diagnostic capabilities across neurology, orthopedics, cardiology, and oncology. It also supports much faster patient throughput, improved patient experience, lower maintenance requirements, reduced downtime, and better operating efficiency. Importantly, this investment also aligns with our sustainability and ESG goals through energy-efficient and resource-conscious infrastructure. In the clinical area, Suraksha has introduced specialized clinics like dementia, epilepsy clinics. Also, gyne-onc clinics have been established and a campaign has been started for early detection of cervical and ovarian cancer. We plan to add many more such super specialty clinics all over Eastern India. With genomics, advanced radiology, AI-enabled workflows, digital reporting systems, and our integrated diagnostic infrastructure, we believe Suraksha is well positioned to serve the evolving healthcare needs of Eastern India and adjacent geographies. The rapid and robust expansion plan is being well executed by our leadership team, and we remain focused in building a diagnostic company that we all can be proud to be a part of. With that, I would like to invite our CEO, Mrs. Ritu Mittal, to provide the operational update for quarter 4 and FY26. A very good day to you all, and thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Chatterjee. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I am pleased to report that Suraksha has concluded FY26 on an exceptionally strong note. This past year has been a definitive period of scale acceleration, operational refinement, and the successful validation of our expansion frameworks. The financial numbers we are presenting today reflect the compounding returns of a highly deliberate multi-year strategy. We are moving from strength to strength, expanding our structural moat beyond historic urban clusters, and transforming deeper regional catchments into high-yield operational nodes. Financial highlights for the full year FY26 are as follows. Revenue from operations stood at INR 3104.1 million, representing a robust year-on-year growth of 23.1% compared to the previous fiscal year. When viewed over a longer horizon, this top-line acceleration marks a stellar three-year revenue CAGR of 17.78% from our FY23 baseline of INR 1900 million, showcasing sustained, highly repeatable structural growth rather than a transient post-pandemic spike. Our blended EBITDA margin for the year stands at a premium 31.73%, yielding an estimated total EBITDA of ₹985 million. However, to truly appreciate the operating leverage built into our model, one must look at our mature asset base. Our established mature centers continue to demonstrate immense operating leverage, consistently delivering a 36 to 37% EBITDA margin profile. The gap between our mature margins and blended margins represents a clear runway for the future profitability as our newer regional hubs scale up to full maturity. Our financial success is a direct consequence of escalating volumes and an increasingly premium test mix. During the year, we proudly served 1.37 million patients across our network. executing a massive volume of 8.16 million clinical tests. Our revenue per patient increased to INR 2264 in FY26. Our growing patient yield reflects a deliberate shift in product mix towards specialized diagnostics and advanced radiology. We also continued to maintain a diversified revenue mix. Pathology contributed 48.85% of our operational revenue. Radiology contributed 44.26%. Our integrated doctor consultancy and polyclinic ecosystem contributed the remaining 6.89%, acting as a highly effective internal referral engine that seamlessly funnels clinical consultations into our diagnostic pipeline. Our growth in FY26 has been heavily propelled by a calibrated regional expansion. We have expanded our footprints into high-density, underserved markets across West Bengal and adjacent geographies. During the year, we launched 2 hub centers, 11 spoke centers, and 3 centers under the PPP model, taking our count of centers to 68 as on March 26. Concurrently, we continue to scale up our highly specialized verticals, including the Fetomat platform for advanced fetal medicine and our highly targeted genomics panels. These high complexity segments not only command premium margins, but cement Suraksha's position as a clinical authority and a trusted reference lab for independent medical practitioners. Looking ahead into FY27, our strategic focus centers heavily on expanding our footprint across eastern and northeastern India, systematically replicating our high-margin operating model in adjacent territories. Our deployment pipeline for the next fiscal year is highly precise. We will establish 3 new hubs and 8 asset-light spoke centers within West Bengal to further sweat our central reference infrastructure. Concurrently, we are taking our brand equity beyond state borders by launching 1 specialized hub center each in Bihar, Tripura and Jharkhand. This multi-state expansion represents a major milestone in our corporate journey, effectively transitioning Suraksha from a prominent state leader into a comprehensive, diversified regional player. Our core operational priorities as we enter FY27 are focused on 4 strategic execution pillars. First, we are acutely focused on improving throughput and capacity utilization across our recently launched centers, ensuring they ramp up rapidly. Second, we are pursuing relentless cost efficiencies by centralizing procurement and sweating our existing automated infrastructure to further protect and expand our operating margins. Third, we continue to scale our specialized diagnostic capabilities, ensuring Suraksha remains the clinical benchmark for high-complexity testing like genomics and advanced imaging. And finally, we are deeply committed to enhancing the patient experience at every touchpoint, leveraging technology to make diagnostics faster, more convenient, and completely frictionless. We believe this disciplined 4-pronged approach will allow us to sustainably compound shareholder value throughout the coming years. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Bablu Shaw for a detailed financial review. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Ritu ma'am. Good afternoon, everyone. I will now take you through a brief overview of our financial performance for the quarter and full year ended 31st March 26. For Q4 FY26, the company reported a total revenue of INR 822 million compared to INR 659 million in Q4 FY25, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 25%. EBITDA for Q4 FY26 stood at INR 252 million compared to INR 200 million in Q4 FY25, registering a year-on-year growth of 26%. EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 31% compared to 31% in Q4 FY25. This reflects a stable operating profitability despite the continued impact of new centers' cost and expansion-related investments. PAT for Q4 FY26 stood at INR 62 million compared to INR 22 million in Q4 FY25. PAT margins for the quarter stood at 7.6% compared to 11% in Q4 FY25. The decline in PAT margin was mainly due to the higher depreciation and finance cost associated with our expanded center networks and infrastructure investment, along with our higher tax expenses during the quarter. For the full year FY26, total revenue stood at INR 3136 million compared to INR 2559 million in FY25, registering a year-on-year growth of 22.5%. EBITDA for FY26 increased by 15.8% year-on-year to 986 million compared to INR 851 million in FY25. EBITDA margin for FY26 stood at 31.8% compared to 33.8% in FY25. Profit after tax stood at 314 million compared to INR 310 million in FY25, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 1.4%. PAT margin for FY26 stood at 10.1% compared to 12.3% in FY25. On the operating side, the numbers of patients served increased to 1.37 million in FY26, while the number of tests performed increased to 8.16 million. The number of tests per patient stood at 6 and revenue per patient increased to INR 2,264 and EBITDA per patient stood at INR 720. Average revenue per center stood at INR 45.65 million. In terms of center profitability, our mature centers continue to deliver healthy performance with EBITDA margins in the range of 36% to 37%. In Q4 FY26, mature centers delivered an average revenue per center of INR 16.3 million with an EBITDA margin of 37%. New centers, which are less than 2 years old, delivered an average revenue per center of INR 5 million with an EBITDA margin of negative 5.5%. Importantly, the gap between mature and new center is gradually reducing, and we expect this trend to continue as the new centers scale up and operating leverage improves. To conclude, FY26 has been a year of strong growth, continued investment and meaningful network expansion, while margins reflect the near-term impact of expansion and new center ramp-up. The underlying business fundamentals remain strong as our new customers, new centers matures and throughput improves. We expect operating leverages and cost efficiency and profitability to improve progressively. With that, I would like to thank everyone for joining the call, and I would now like to open the forum for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may please press star and one to ask questions. The first question is from the line of Dhruv Maheshwari from Perpetuity Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Good morning. My first question is, so what's the pre-Ind AS EBITDA and the pre-Ind AS PAT for the year FY26?
Pre-Ind AS EBITDA.
Fifty-three CR is the pre-Ind AS EBIT.
What? Can you repeat once more?
You said 53 CR is the pre-Ind AS EBITDA for the year.
Yes.
So and the impact on tax.
At the impact of the PAT is 53 CR.
Pre-Ind AS EBITDA will be around 75 CR.
PAT will be impact by
30 CR. PAT
कितना रहेगा 40 CR 53 CR
PAT 53 CR and EBITDA 75 CR.
Got it, understood. So the next question is, was there any impact of elections in the last quarter for Suraksha?
The only impact that we faced was some of our centers that we had planned to open got a little delayed. That is all because of
very peaceful election.
Got it. And because of this, I believe we were planning close to about 75 odd centers. And what will be able to touch the 100 center mark by FY28? So 68 in FY26, 14 will be opening in FY27. So that brings us to 82. So 18 by more by FY28.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Rajat Baldeva from Kizuna Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi ma'am. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My first question is on the center which you have guided in CC that we will be able to add 6 odd centers. But unfortunately, we have added only 2. So is it because of the election? Or any other reason?
Absolutely. Because of the election, some licenses and power was a little delayed. So out of the 4, 2 have already opened and 2 are going to open this month.
Okay. And then, ma'am, my second question was on the EBITDA margin. What was the guidance for the next year in terms of EBITDA margin? And it has dropped down a lot from 32 to 31 in this year, that's
it. Should be near about 37%.
No. EBITDA margin for FY27, the EBITDA margin would stabilize at around 33%.
Okay.
Because, you know, we are adding many more new centers again this year also. So the pre-operative expenses does give it a hit.
Okay. And my third question is, what's your repeat rate currently?
My repeat rate would be around 40%.
40%. Okay, okay. Got it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Jain from Arcane Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have few questions. So
Mr. Jain, I'm sorry to interrupt you. There is a lot of background noise from your end, sir. I would request you to move to a quieter place, please.
Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Yeah. So I have a couple of questions. Firstly, with the EBITDA margin. So can our EBITDA margins recover back towards 34-35% over the medium term, or should investor assume structurally lower margins due to aggressive expansion?
So the mature centers will continue to deliver 36-37%. But as we ramp up, we definitely think midterm we will stabilize at 35% because of operating leverage as we scale up.
Understood.
In the long term, we expect around 38-39%.
Understood. Also, secondly, the company added 20 centers since listing. What has been the performance trajectory of these new centers so far? Could you throw some light on that?
The performance has been very good. The revenue ramp up is pretty strong. But of course, you know, to center level, some of these centers have had center level break even also. But to really contribute to EBITDA will take some time.
Understood. And when do you see this marginally showing up and reflecting on EBITDA levels? Any timeline if you could see it?
See, the centers that we've already opened, okay, that will start reflecting positive margins in the next 6 months. But again, we will be adding new centers, so that will dilute the margin.
Understood. So for FY27, the company plans to add multiple hubs and spoke across West Bengal, Bihar, Jharkhand and Tripura. So what is the total planned capex for this rollout?
So the total planned capex again is around 70 crore. Because you see, two of our centers were supposed to open last year. So that capex is almost incurred. So we will be adding 5 hubs and 8 spokes. So that will be around 70 crore.
Understood, ma'am. Understood. And are you seeing any cannibalization in this existing Kolkata cluster as density increases? Do you think that is valid?
Not really. We plan accordingly. We see the, of course, a little cannibalization is there, but then when we look at the overall region's performance, it always grows more. Center to center, we might, you know, see a dip of 5 to 10% in the existing center, but then the new center ramps up much faster than that.
Understood, ma'am. Understood. Ma'am, what proportion of FY27's growth is expected from mature centers versus newly added centers? Could you throw some light on that?
Yeah, so the mature centers will contribute to around 9% of growth, and the balance will be from the newly added centers.
Understood. Also, ma'am, which geographies outside of West Bengal are showing the best traction currently?
For us, it is Guwahati.
Yeah. Okay.
Therefore,
Okay.
Carry on.
So I just wanted to know, so which geographies outside of West Bengal are showing best traction currently? Because we are majorly in West Bengal region, but are we looking into other geographies as well?
Yeah, so Assam, we already have a hub center. We have opened one center in Guwahati. We are opening 2 more this year. And we are adding Tripura, which has a dominant Bengali population. So they are very well aware of our brand.
Understood, ma'am. Understood. And finally, can management share current monthly run rate revenues for genomics vertical, which was launched recently in FY26?
So the last quarter, Q4, we actually did a 1 crore of incremental genomics business, which is up from the previous quarter by around 2.5 million.
Understood, sir. Understood. So that is all from my side. Thank you for answering my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please press star and 1 to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Sia Maheshwari from RBSB Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am. Please proceed. Yes.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for the opportunity. So I actually wanted to ask that what is the normalized EBITDA margin potential once the newly added centers mature?
Could you please be more louder for the question, please?
Yeah, sure. What I meant to ask was, what would be the normalized EBITDA margin potential once the newly added centers mature?
So newly added centers last year will mature in a year. This year it will mature next year. So every newly added center kind of matures in a 6 to 8 months kind of a thing. So the EBITDA numbers that have already been, you know, shared by our CEO would follow. So currently we are looking at next year as 33, approximately 33, and on a midterm level at around 35.
Okay, sir, got it. And sir, the EBITDA margins have declined from 33.8% in FY25 to 31.8% in FY26. Can management quantify the drag from the new centers and pre-operative expenses?
Due to this, the expansion of our new centers, because our fixed cost has increased for the new centers. So that's the reason that it has been declined.
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay, got it. And sir, lastly, sir, the mature centers are generating around 36 to 37% EBITDA margins, as I understand, while the newer centers are loss-making. What is the average break-even timeline for a new center?
For a new center, the center-level break-even for a small center happens at around 5 to 6 months. For a big center, this takes around 9 to 12 months. This is center-level. But for it to break even at the HO expense level takes another additional 1 to 2 quarters.
Okay. Okay, ma'am. Got it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Goyal from Banyan Tree. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Thank you for the opportunity. Can you please explain to me professional line item and the other expenses, professional fees paid to doctors? Like, why this line item is so big, like I'm able to see it's almost 16-17% of the revenue, and what kind of fees is this to doctors?
Professional fee. So this is, you know, the professional fee that we are paying to our radiologists, our pathologists, and also, you know, the OPD business that we have, where the doctors sit and consult within our premises, there also the consultation fee is paid to the doctor. We retain 15% and we pay back 85% to the consultant. So this is what it comprises of.
And this is it will grow with in line of the revenue as we will be growing the revenue.
Can you be a little louder?
Yeah, so I was saying this is expected to grow with in line of revenue.
Absolutely, because this is like a variable cost.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nakul Doshi from Sankala Investments. Please go ahead.
So I had a couple of questions, starting with patient growth in Q4 was modest at around 1.7%, despite the strong revenue growth. So was there any slowdown in the footfalls or is this an enormous seasonality impact?
So the Q4 actually is a normal seasonality. It has a seasonality impact because the winter almost kind of fizzles out till March. It has a this impact, but what happens is during this period the infection related things kind of take up, and which are high value tests, and they contribute to a higher revenue.
Understood. And the radiology now contributes around 44% of revenues. So is the radiology department expected to grow faster than the pathology, and overall, how would margins evolve in this particular region?
More or less the revenue,
the industry breakup for pathology and radiology is 55 and 45, and we very much simulate the same.
But then going to radiology, expected to contribute more than the pathology. But will it be around the industry numbers only, which you just mentioned?
It will be around the industry numbers only because we serve the entire prescription. Okay, so that is the normal breakup of a prescription.
Understood. And what utilization levels are currently seen across MRI and CT infrastructure?
We don't really break our realization levels at, because a lot of it is jointly contributing and the center is doing, so we don't really allocate like that.
We cover the prescription and we look at the particular prescription level which would come to a patient level kind of this thing. So when we cover the whole prescription, it kind of is an average of the overall tests that are getting booked.
Okay. And it is very similar. It is very similar because the cost of consumables in radiology is lower, but the reporting cost is higher. And in pathology, the cost of consumables is higher, but the reporting cost is lower. So it basically boils down to very similar figures as far as margin is concerned.
Okay, understood. That's it from my side.
Thank you. You may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Rajat Baldeva from Kizuna Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. And what was the revenue index from the generic business?
Your voice is echoing, please.
Sir, there is a there is a background noise from your end.
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes.
What was the revenue index for the generic business?
Revenue number in quarter of four.
No, no, revenue run rate. I am talking about revenue run rate for the future year. That's generic business.
35 lakhs per month.
45 lakhs per month. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so can you specify what was the reason of increasing contribution from the doctor consultants this year? It's around 7% of total supply.
Your voice is just not clear. We are unable to comprehend the question.
Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Use your handset. Please use your handset, sir.
Now am I audible?
Better.
Oh. Can you specify what was the specific reason to increase in contribution of revenue from the doctor consultant? Is it 7% of total top line now? This year. And will it be sustainable or is this one time?
Still can't understand. I don't know, your voice is very muffled.
Sir, I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue. Maybe you can connect from some other number because your voice is not clear. We will move on to the next question from the line of Akash Shah from Investec Capital Services India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi ma'am, one question. So your revenue, annual revenue registered a growth of 23% and in third quarter you had hinted at revenue guidance of 15%. So now going ahead, how should we assume the revenue to grow for FY27 and beyond?
Around 15%.
15% still, despite you having done 23% in FY26.
Yes.
Right.
We don't mind over-delivering, but our commitment is 15%.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a question on your patient growth. So it was pretty low at around 2 to 3% this quarter. You mentioned partly it was because of seasonality, but seasonality would be more on a QOQ basis because if I look at a year-on-year basis, this seasonality would happen every quarter in Q4. But even then, after opening so many centers, our patient growth has been pretty low. And if I look at other listed peers, we have reported pretty strong patient and test volume growth. If you just help us understand what led to this.
See, one thing I can tell you is that the patient growth is not a very very definite metrics because one patient might be created by multiple names because there is no unique ID that we attach to a patient throughout our country. So, one spelling mistake adds a patient. Whereas we are pretty diligent on how we add patients because we want to show them their previous reports and everything, and therefore our growth number. But I don't think this is a very correct matrix to track because there isn't a hygiene factor built in.
The example of test.
And this revenue per patient which spiked up this quarter, what was the reason for the same?
What happened to the patient? Can you
revenue per patient? Revenue per patient?
Yeah, that is because of, you know, the genomic tests that we've added. We've added specialized radiology tests, which are typically higher priced than the routine tests. And therefore, the jump has happened.
And ma'am, just wanted to get a better perspective on this patient. You mentioned that it's not a right metric. But now, if I look at the number of centers, our number of centers were 55 in March last year. It has increased to 68. So almost 20 to 25% jump in number of centers. Our existing centers also would be, you know, growing. So in spite of that, the growth in number of patients should have been higher. Because if I look at the last 2-3 quarters, our number year-on-year growth in number of patients has been in double digits. Only in this quarter it has reduced to low single digits.
See, like I'm telling you, the more, I don't know how to track this, and we actually don't even track this matrix, because it is a very flawed matrix. Because the more strong your IT system becomes, and the more you actually concentrate the cases into that one patient rather than have the same patient treated with different mobile numbers or different spelling mistakes, it is very challenging to track.
So I understand this problem would be there for your existing centers, but for the new centers which you have opened, there you will be getting the new new patients, right? So that should...
See, it's a new centers also that we've opened is quite in our core geography. So these patients also traveling to... And our patient database is the same.
Okay. And you mentioned previously that your pre-India's start was around 53 crores. Was it right?
And I think another factor I would like to add is when you were seeing huge growth, that was all COVID times. You know, COVID times, because we were the one of the few labs testing, so a lot of new registrations happened for COVID tests. Otherwise, the growth historically must be similar.
Yes, pre-index EBITDA is 75 CR, PBT is 52 CR, and PAT is 39 CR around pre-index.
Okay. And what is the rental cost for this year? Total rental cost?
It's around 30 CR.
TCR. Okay. Sure. Thank you. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumukh from Corman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Am I audio?
Sir, it's feeble. Please use your handset. It's feeble.
Oh, is it better now?
Yes, sir. Please continue.
So, ma'am, my question is, what part of your other expenses is attributable to the capex that you are doing for your new stores, the pre-operative expense?
Yes,
sir. Hey, was my question clear?
Your question was clear, but we will have to get back to you with the details of this.
Just a percentage number would be okay, ma'am. I'm just trying to understand what would be your steady state other expense, X of the, you know, the OPEX that's going into the new new centers. Because it's at 40% of your revenue. So
this is basically due to the new rentals for the new locations that we take up. And should be around 30-40% should be, I will have to get back into the details of this number before I can tell you.
Okay, ma'am. Sure. Yeah, that was my only question. And thank you, and all the best for the coming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you for being with us. We wish you all great things in future, and we can assure you that here at Shuruka, the leadership team is fighting day and night to build a better futuristic company, which I'm sure will be at the top of the levels of diagnostic companies in very near future. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Suraksha Diagnostic Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.